Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and hotep. Welcome to Oracle's Read. You've got your Omi Inka coming to you straight from my living room. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you by saying Habari Gani. And I'd like to also say that this particular series is still pertaining to the gods. Last night's segment was supposed to be on Would You Be Loved. So I'm going to combine last night's session with today's session. Last night's session should have been, would you be loved? Now, could you be loved? Now, if a god has something called passion for himself, or is it necessary for the gods to have something called passion for themselves in order to love someone else? I pose that question to you tonight, wherever you are, wherever you might be, out there in Atlanta, Georgia, out there in the Motor City, Detroit. If you're in Gary, Indiana, the chocolate city, if you're in the steel mill area, anywhere in the hood, I pose that question to those who are in Chicago, Illinois. Could you be loved? And if you were a god, would a god first have to love himself or herself or have something called passion for themselves in order to love someone else. We're going to talk about that today, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to talk about that candidly with a senior citizen who can give it to us from her perspective, and you're going to have it from another perspective as well. I'm going to be representing the young generation today because we're talking about gods again, and we are going to define that definition for you. A god. What is a god, and how do you become a god? You first start out as a little g, and I'm sure you know that because I've called some of you little g's before. We have to understand, we first have to understand that we are not putrefied, and we were not found in our own putrefaction, and neither are we cursed by one man's sin. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. We were not crucified and thrown away and broken and cast aside in our own putrefaction because of one man's sin. Who would think that God would let one man ruin this whole earth, the man called Adam? That story was a mistake. It wasn't what the original thing that was supposed to happen. So we were not cursed by one man's sin or destroyed, and we didn't come here putrefied, lacking anything. We were whole in his fullness. God's essence made us. We have his like or his or her like image. That means we have his essence or her essence or its essence, meaning that we're pure at heart and we have the essence and the stuff that God has. All we have to do is stir it up, go underneath the water that's submerged in water, and go into a deep trance and wake that God up. And we also have to understand another thing we have to do. As we know, in order to become a master, we have to transition into a master. And that is when we begin to identify our own weaknesses and inadequacies and shortcomings and be able to celebrate the things that we can change and accept the things we can and have the wisdom to know the difference. And once we do that, we master ourselves. We go up the ladder to become a Christ-like, and we transition into the Christ-like attitude or Christ-like idea. I didn't say the man Christ. I said the Christ-like behavior. You must understand that Christ was a concept. It was an idea, and all of us can become Christ, and we can all stand in the position of a Christ. But as we push ourselves forward to push ourselves out of this flesh and into the spirit realm so the gods can show up. And that's what's happening on the plane today, ladies and gentlemen. The gods have transitioned out of the Christ-like stage, and they're now pushing themselves into the stage of a god. My question to you today, if you were a god, wouldn't you first have to love yourself with all your heart and soul and then love your neighbor as yourself? You can't love your neighbor until you love yourself with all your heart and soul. I know the word says to love God with all your heart and soul, but who do you think God is? That's right. I see you nodding your head over there and pointing yourself with one finger pointing to you. You're right. You're it. You're the only of that Godhead that you're going to see down here on this earth. So you might as well manifest the God presence within you so you can demonstrate it to all others to see. But you can't sit there and wait for something to come in the sky and say, oh, we're opening up the sky, here comes God. God is in Malcolm X. He was over in the prison cell. God is also in Dr. Martin Luther King, and he was in him when he fought for the causes of blacks. He's in you. And you over there who've been laboring out there marching, he's in you. Don't wait for a God to show up. Press the God forward in you. The question is, would you be made whole? And the other question is, could you be loved? Now, that's the biggest problem we have on today's plane. We have a problem with loving ourselves. And I don't just mean our individual selves. We have a problem with loving our own culture. We can't love each other for looking in the mirror saying, darn it, there's that old black face again. And we've turned in on each other and we've become destructive to ourselves. But gods don't do that. They first love themselves with all their heart and soul. Then they go and love their neighbor like themselves. So we have to demonstrate that we're well loved and that we have affirmations and we have self-worth. Then we have something to share with others. Then we can go and love someone else. Now, gods are on the scene today, and we're waiting for these gods to demonstrate, to master themselves. Do we have any masters in the house that's willing to stand up and testify to the goodness of being a master? Why would God create something after his own self that was rugged, putrefied, and damaged? There's nothing damaged about God. So why would he create damaged goods? Does that make any sense? That's an oxymoron. God is going to create damaged goods and then say, oh, those people are made after my own image. Then his own image has to be pure, lacking nothing. Now demonstrate it and stand on it and represent the Godhead that's within you. And quit acting like you're broken and torn down and you're defeated and you certainly don't need to be delivered from anything. You've already been delivered from everything that you could have possibly been addicted to. So walk in that deliverance and don't walk in the shadows of your addiction. And we want to talk about some addictions today. We want to talk about that because we know that as gods, we walk in the love of God. So therefore, we have to be loved. We have to be loved. And we have to first demonstrate that love to those that are observing us. And when they see how much we love ourselves, they begin to understand that person can love me. Because look at the way he loves him or herself. Now, the Bible also talks about you will know them by the way they love one another. And we love the brethren because we first have loved ourselves. Now, I want to talk about self-worth to you. You that are out there who've been drinking for a long, long time, don't pick that bottle up no more. Lay it down. Love yourself today. We find that we become self-destructive when we can't measure up, when we can't get up the hill or make sense of why we can't accomplish or why we can't heed. We become our own worst enemy and self-destructive to ourselves. Now, I want you to look around the room. Every one of us has some inadequacies, and we are all weak to a certain extent. And we don't do anything in our own strength. We rely on the strength that God has placed within us. Therefore, he placed God on our head. That's why God can't ever leave us, and that's why he shows up in you and I at different times. But that array of light where God has been pressed forth the most will show up till when someone's been sitting with God and spending time with God because their light is more brilliant than others. That's the Godhead. Now, I want to take you to a different level than Bible thumping, church, stepping, jumping. I want to take you to another level. As a minister, a licensed minister, I want to take you to a level of consciousness that you may haven't gone before. But this has nothing to do with any Bible scriptures where somebody was inspired, scratched their head, and wrote a bunch of scriptures and put a bunch of fairy tales together and collaborated their efforts together so they could tie them all together, but they just couldn't tie them all together because they weren't all inspired at the same time. And then you got some of these stories that are stories. That's what they are, stories, fairy tales. And we are mesmerized, and we won't come out of the book long enough to go and find the God within us, to sit with ourselves long enough to stir up the God within us. Well, I want you to sit with yourselves now. And I want you to love yourself. Put your arms around yourself, because if you don't love yourself, guess what? Nobody else will. Now, those that have been well loved and pampered and cared for, they stand out. Even when they go out and they fix their hair and go out of their way to do that do, keep their attire and their aesthetics where they should be, clothes clean, those people are admired and they respect it because they know that time has been put into bringing their most highest qualities out, and they stand out like a god. And that's why we're so busy representing and worshiping these godlike images who have all of these esteems and things around them that appear to be gold and silver, and we look at those things and say, boy, they must be God. And they tell us where to go, and we listen, just like E.F. Hutton, and we follow what they tell us. Yeah, we're worshiping some gods out there today because we don't know that we're gods. We have made idols out of other people who have money and filthy lucre, and we've looked up on them with esteem as if they're gods. But I want you to look into the little fellow today and look in the mirror at yourself, because you're looking at a God. You only have to see him, he, it within yourself. Because if you were born, you were predestined to come here, and you took a pledge and you signed a contract to come here to represent God. And don't let anybody tell you that God don't need you because he can do it all. No, he cannot, or she, he, or it can't. God needs you to demonstrate expression through. He created all of us in different constructive colors, shades, and races so he could know experience through us. He needs us because he said he would not come down here to take dominion. He would give us dominion over the land and over the cattle, over the sea. So therefore, he needs us. Be mindful of that. Now, the Bible, when it in its infinite wisdom, also said that remind God of all of his promises to you and to command God. How is it that we can command God? Because we are God, so we're commanding ourselves to get up first and take that first step and to do what it is that we've been praying for as we pray to ourselves. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It sounds a little different, right? You're praying to yourself. Well, who in the heck do you think you're praying to out there in the atmosphere if it's not to the God that's within you? Now, don't let anybody come testifying to you, telling you that God said that you ought to do this, God said that you ought to do that. Then you ask them, then why didn't God speak to you about it first? Because he, she, or it certainly would have spoke to you first if they had something to tell you. So don't let people with itchy ears come around you with their conversation to give you a word from God. The word from God should come out of you and speak to you about your particular situation. We have too many people playing church today and playing prophets. I don't want to appear to be a prophet to you because I'm not. I'm only telling you how to wake up the God that's within you. My question is, could you? Now, would you be loved? Could you be loved enough to bring the God forth? And if you were God, wouldn't you have to love yourself with all your heart and soul and might and all your thoughts so that you can then go and love somebody else? That's all it takes to solve the gun wars. That's all it takes to solve the gang wars. That's all it takes to solve the economic problem is that each one of us take time out to love ourselves as a God. And then that presence of God would be presence everywhere, shining like a blue light all over this earth. We would then begin to stop looking for God in the sky, and we would stop looking for that Armageddon, and we would stop looking for that great rapture, which will never come. You need to rapture yourselves today. Rapture yourselves right now and make a decision that from henceforth you're going to look for the God within you, and you're going to love yourself with all your heart, all your might, all your strength, and all your being, and then you're going to go and love your neighbor. I'm teaching good now. Somebody ought to be standing up testifying to the word of their own God. Now, I'm not going to take a bunch of fancy scriptures and quote them elegantly and ask you to recite them over and over again. I'm not going to give you somebody else's inspiration when we are now gods and we're dreaming dreams and we're having visions of our own. This is when God will come up and show up. Why hasn't the Jesus showed up again and again in this 21st century? Why haven't we seen the miracles that Jesus once did? Because nobody believes that they're a God. And once we start believing that we're gods, we'll grow limbs back again. We will then begin to heal bodies that are lame. We will not only call Lazarus back, we'll call the whole nation back, and we'll lay down the law, and the law will be a law again. A law is not a law if it's not fulfilled. Don't let anybody fool you. We're practicing justiciary law. And whenever they taint the law and make the law crooked and it doesn't say what it's intended to say, it is no more a law than it would be if it was a lie. We've got to turn some things around. Somebody has psyched us out. Somebody has rearranged our thinking so that we are thinking crooked. We are thinking that the head is the bottom and the bottom is the head, when in fact we were always gods, and there was nobody ever going to show up for you and I. I don't care how many table settings you set for Elijah. He's not coming back. If he don't show up in your babies and their babies, he won't show up. So start looking for the Christ-like person within your children. Looking into the faces of your babies, your newborn babies, and say, is you the one? Is you the one that's supposed to come back and deliver yourself from this destruction of the lies that have been put out through all denominations of religion? And don't say it isn't their fault, because that's what their ancestors taught them and their legacies taught them before. It comes a time that we must put away the things of a child. And when I was a child, I thought as a child, and I things of a child. Now that I'm older, I put away those things of a child, and I become conscious-minded like a God. That's what gods do, ladies and gentlemen. I want to know, is there a God in the house today? Stand up if you have a heart to love yourself and love yourself with all your heart and soul, and then go and love your neighbor. If we love each other, love will cover a multitude of sins. Now, let me tell you something about that mutilated book. When the Old Testament was on the scene, we were killing much cattle and offering up much bloody bulls for all of our sins. Then I was told that this putrefaction of all this killing to cover the sin, this blood was supposed to cover the sin, a remission of sin, but it wasn't enough blood and killing to cover all the sin that we were going to do. So they didn't get it. It wasn't about the shedding of blood in the Old Testament that was going to cover everything, because Jesus knew we couldn't do it for ourselves. He knew that we could not merit enough and kill enough ox. So he was the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. And in his ultimacy and his clever thinking, he thought, I bring them grace and mercy. Grace, mercy, and truth, and love, and all wrapped up in it, pardoning you from anything you could have ever did. Isn't that something? The New Testament sought to change the lies that had been told, to tell you that you could never merit enough and that you couldn't live up to it because of the fact we're in this flesh. This flesh is what makes us weak. That's why our goal is to beat the flesh down, kill the old man daily, and bring it up under subjection so that the spirit can come forward. Then you will see perfection. As long as we're in these bodies, we're imperfected. But as we push that spirit forward out of these bodies, we become perfected, and we can never die. Now, these bodies are going to deteriorate, and they're going to go back to dust, but the spirit will never die. Now, let me tell you something that I wanted to bring to you, because I'm sensing that somebody needs this message. We have a serious problem as a black people. We love God so much, but we don't know that God is ourselves. Oh, when you speak of God, something comes up on us with a smile, and our hearts get warm, and we feel so good. God, yes, God, I love God. Oh, how I love God. And we love God so much, not knowing that God is ourselves. And if we could only forgive ourselves if we could only give ourselves another chance to start over again, to get on our feet, to believe in ourselves again, there'll be much rehabilitation, much recuperation. Well, you can tell yourselves that today, that you are God. And start telling yourself how much you love yourself so you can then reach over and hug your neighbor and love him like yourself. It's very vital that we get this message, people, because if you could be loved, then you could love your brother. And if you had to love yourself and have something called passion for yourself, could you have passion for yourself today? Could you forgive yourself for your shortcomings? Could you look over the problems that you had last year? And could you begin anew? Could you be loved? Is my question today. Would you be loved? When love comes upon the scene, everything is pardoned. You can smile and forgive that next person when you normally would have taken up arms against him or her. Could you be loved today? And I want to know, is there somebody that feels the need to forgive themselves? Go right ahead and do so, because this is only flesh that you're fighting with. You're only at war with your flesh. I don't care how many times you said that you had it out for that girl next door or your husband or your spouse. It's not them. It's your flesh you're wrestling with. It's your flesh and blood that you're fighting with, because your spirit has enmity with the flesh, and it will keep having enmity because it's wicked and desperately wicked, and who could know the flesh? Not spirit. I'm not talking about the spirit. The spirit is pure, and it comes from the Creator, and the spirit is uniquely made and was given to you without flaws or fault. However, the flesh is what we are wrestling with. The flesh is what we are choking down. Choke it down today. Bring it up under. Put your foot on it if you have to. But come out of the flesh and transcend into the spirit. Spirit is eternal, and the flesh is temporal. We are not talking about having eternal life with a temporal body. Your body will not enter into any kingdom. Don't start looking for the kingdom outside in the atmosphere. The kingdom comes from out of you. Let your kingdom come out of you. Your kingdom is within. And this kingdom is not of this earth. Jesus even told us that. So where is your kingdom? And when will your kingdom come? Let your kingdom come today. Because we're looking for those who are looking for a different message, who are looking for a different presentation and platform. We have done away with all that superstitious and all of that placating of what is truth and what is not truth and arguing over which disciple was right and which one was wrong. To tell the truth, they may be made up characters that you are using to map your life and pattern your life after, when in fact God has placed himself within you, time on the inside, and working your situation out and salvation with fear and trembling from the inside. Your kingdom will come up out of you, and the heaven that you look for will be within you. So we have got to come out of these cliches and these falsehoods. And we've got to stop carrying this Bible like a manual and a guide from a group of people who have failed themselves. If we would then look at ourselves and our ancestors, they're the closest thing to God. If you're going to worship anybody, why not worship or why not commune with your ancestors and have a relationship with them? Why not develop a relationship to someone who's closer to the God in the spirit realm of the one that you've been working with? And more than ever before, we want to talk about the love that you're supposed to have for one another. The love. The love that we're supposed to have for one another and the love that we're supposed to share abroad. But you have to first develop that love within yourself. When you're beat down and you're downtrodden, you can't love yourself. You can't forgive yourself. And people know it. They see it. They look at you and they have mercy upon you and they feel sorry for you. So then how are you going to tell them about how much you love them? If you love them any more than yourself, then you would be a liar and a cheat and a thief, because you stole away the love from yourself that you first should have given yourself. Now, you have to understand, Jesus is not going to come down here on no ship, and no good ship Jesus, collecting all of us to get on any boat, saying, get on board, little children. Jesus' time is over. It's our time to become that Jesus-like image. It's our time to demonstrate through signs and wonders. They should follow us, and these signs and wonders should be demonstrating how much we could love each other on this plane. Now, brothers out there with your guns, lay them down. And brothers who are on the corner making a living, lay them down. Find out where the real Godhead is within you. Just loving yourself is not all that God could do. That God can speak a thing. He could decree a thing. He could call things in existence. And he sure can command alchemy, which is filthy lucre. And it could come whenever you want it. Now practice that and be a God and lay down that lifestyle, because, see, your conscience will eat you up as it begins to look at the things you're doing that are wrong, and you won't be able to look at yourself and love yourself, and you'll become self-destructive. And I'm preaching on self-destruction because I want you to start loving yourself, doing for yourself, exonerating yourself. People say, oh, well, God will exonerate you. You're God. Then exonerate yourself. Encourage yourself. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. That's what the word says and the songster says. Lift yourself up and pick yourself up by your bootstrap. And then your brother who is fallen or your sister, go over and pick her up and give her a chance to stand too. If you are out there in the audience today and you need a word of advice, and you're an alcoholic and you want to get off alcohol, stand and touch and agree that you have already been freed of alcohol, because it's a spirit that you're fighting up against. And those of you who are prone to the vine, your spirit is much bigger and you desire to do God's will more than anything, because you go in the spirit to find God. And alcohol is nothing but a spirit. You could put it down tomorrow if you wanted to. You could lay it down and walk away, because it's a spirit, and there's many ways that you can go into the spirit without touching the vine. Now lay it down. And if you're addicted and you have addictive natures, lay that down too. You don't need to beat up on yourself. You don't need to check out of here. There's many ways that you could go into the supernatural, subliminal mind and to the spirit realm and go underneath the water to reach God without putting yourself in danger of taking drugs or that extra pill or that narcotic that you've been taking. Put it down. It's time for us to get free. It's time for us to love ourselves. Now, could you or would you be loved? Or if you were a God, wouldn't you first have to love yourself with something called compassion and then love your brothers and sisters? Well, we're going to have to do that today, because we can no longer wait for the Bible to give us the go-ahead in loving ourselves when we are hating everyone in church and frowning upon every young child and youth and putting them down, and then we're saying we love God. You're a liar, and the truth is not in you. If you don't first love yourself with all your heart, soul, and might, and then your neighbor as yourself, you can't love God. You can't love God because you're God. Now try loving yourself. Put your arms around yourself. I don't care how tight you wrap around. Put your arms around yourself and tell yourself you love yourself and tell yourself you forgive yourself. Then stand up straight. Stand up straight. Not prostrate. You're not laying down. You're not giving up. You're standing straight. Now, it's impossible. It's impossible to fall down on anything when you stand up straight. But if you're prostrating yourself, it's in a position of being forgiven, or it's in a position of retreating and retaliating. Now, I want to say this for those of you who are looking for a new message and who are looking for a way to get free. You can get free in the Oracle Read Rooms today. You can get free through these messages of talking about God. Now, I may not be on here every day, because there's things in my life I have to get done. I have issues that I need to address too. And I'm trying to love myself with all my heart and soul and might. And I'm trying not to give up on the God within me. And I'm trying to step out and demonstrate what God's do. And I'm trying to show you too, God, that you only need to call yourself God's and address each other as God's. Good morning, God. Good evening, God. How are you doing, God? How are we doing today? And when we come together in a communal setting, touching and agreeing anything, asking anything in our names, it will come to pass. Until we realize we are what we've been waiting for, we will forevermore be waiting for the return of the Messiah. We are the Messiahs today, and we are the Christ-like beings today. And when we saw Malcolm X demonstrate beyond measures of what spirituality would be, we saw the Christ show up in him. And when we saw Dr. Martin Luther King demonstrate something he could die for, we saw the Christ-like person rise up in him. And we're going to see the Christ-like person rise up in each and every one of us. We don't have to wait and get angry and become proactive. Reactive. We can become proactive now by starting to demonstrate as God. If we demonstrate in the form of a God and took our proper places and position, no one could walk over us or no one could ever defeat us. But when we are lacking confidence in our own self and self-worth of us being a God, we are our own worst enemy. And we're defeated before we ever get defeated by those that are in opposition of us. Now, I want you to see through color, because there's some of us who are not of the same color that we are. And they know that we're God. And they'll probably come up to you and tell you, I've been knowing that you're God all along. I've been waiting for you to wake up and find out and discover that on your own. Now, because you're asleep and you've been laid asleep for a while, you've been anesthetized. You've been lulled to sleep. The preachers are even luring you even more to sleep by not telling you who you are. They are putting you in an anesthesis like you're ready for surgery, like you're ready to go under, and they haven't told you who you were. Shame on them. They should have told you that you were perfect and you came here lacking nothing and that all you had to discover was to be, and that was it. You didn't have to do anything but just be yourself, and allow the God within you to come up out of you. All of these things that we're doing, we weren't asked to do this. It wasn't ordained by God. Unless it's your God, then that's the only way you should be doing that. But you must understand that somebody put us to sleep, and they anesthetized us so we wouldn't know that we were God. But we're waking up out of our slumber. And we're waking up and we're discovering that we are the one. And I want you to remember that love is the first thing that will cover a multitude of sin. As we use love, love becomes a tool and is powerful like a two-edged sword. We can use love to defeat the woes of this world, and we can use love to turn around a sick, sick world. And we can use love to bring relationships back into harmony again. How many of you want relationships to come back in harmony again? How many of you are looking to see that relationships will line up with what the Word of God said? The Word of God said that we're love. And if we're love, love will cover everything that's inadequate. And it's very vital that we bring love into subjection today, and that we take love and we cry out in the courtyard that love is spreading this face of this earth. We cannot have any more killings in our community. We cannot have any more destruction of our women and men beating women down. We can't have any more of that people going to war with us without us knowing it. We're in a war, and some of us don't even know we're in a war. We come out of one battle and go on to the next. We're decreeing that we as gods will take over these battles and they will cease, and that the war